Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 60, Episode 3 of The Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah.
The podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness using the headlines, box office reports, TV ratings, what's trending on Google and social meds. I was told that's not cool.
Man,
I disagree. It's Wednesday, December 5th, 2018. I was told it makes me sound old and not cool. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Check the bio. I've lived in every town between Kentucky and Miami of Ohio. Ooh. It's wild. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Well, you can tell by the way I use my moves. I'm a podcast host. No time to lose. Fresh and hot. Second rate. Been Dizzy Gang since I was 8. Well, it's all Miles. It's all Gray. With Jack and the host, me, hey. We'll take a dive into the shed. Consciousness of the internet. Whether you're a brother or whether you're a mother, your daily's a gang. Daily's a gang. Daily's a gang.
Wow.
That's been our episode, everyone.
Yes, thank you very much.
I had to
channel Bloody Barry Gibb on that one, Mike. Thank you to Hannah Soltis. For that, we all know that was Staying Alive. So,
Wait, you didn't write that? Oh,
no.
Much less impressive.
I never write my own AKAs, man. A little secret.
No, I meant the music.
Oh, shit. Yeah. No, yeah, that was Barry Gibb, right? The old Gibb family.
An original accompaniment. Well, I am thrilled to be joined in our third seat. Miles, not so much, but I am thrilled to be joined in our third seat by Lil Zam.
Hi.
Jamie Loftus. What's
up? Hi. I'm good.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
Hey.
I'm not used to seeing you guys when it's dark out.
I know.
This is different.
Well, the seasons do that.
I got all worked up at work today. I got a nosebleed.
Boy.
I know. It's fun.
Yeah. What does your doctor say about those anger nosebleeds?
Well, I've gotten them since I was little. It means that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, doesn't that mean that you're telekinetic or something?
Yeah. It means that I can read people's minds, and that's why I'm so angry.
Like 11.
Oh, yeah. She has 7 days to live.
But, oh, 7 days. Oh, that means everyone has 7 days to live. Everything, almost things I do.
Oh, ever since the live show. Wasn't there something that happened when we heard the phone was going to ring and we had 7 days?
We had 7 days to live, yeah. And this would be the fifth of those.
I had an explosive nosebleed before one of my first trumpet recitals as a child.
No.
Yeah, it was like insane. Face just fucking started bleeding. It was crazy.
I used to pass out before oboe solos.
Oh.
Hey, it's a lot of pressure.
And that rhymes, too.
I got a nosebleed before, like, a meeting that I was nervous about, like, early in my career. Is there, like, nervous nosebleeds?
I think it just indicates some loss of control.
All the cocaine, maybe?
Headaches sometimes triggered by stress can also come with a nosebleed. If you tend to pick your nose or blow your nose frequently when you feel stressed or anxious, that could also trigger a nosebleed. Hypertension, high blood pressure has been suggested to trigger nosebleeds. All right.
Yeah, I punch myself in the face before big meetings.
Power move.
And then you violently pick it with your finger.
Yeah, yeah.
So stupid. So stupid. Pick your nose in the meeting. They'll take you serious.
Jamie, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. But first, we're telling our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about. We're talking about the latest dating app for racists. We're talking about the quick cancellation of Friends on Netflix and then bring it right back. We're going to talk a bunch of Trump developments, and once again, we're going to talk about the conditions in packing factories, which we have promised to talk about multiple times and forgot to cut it out. So you guys
talk about Ariana Grande again.
We will. Don't worry.
Okay, good.
Yeah, the internet isn't having a great week. We'll get to that. But first, we like to ask our guest, Jamie, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Christmas dogs.
Christmas dogs.
I forgot what a reindeer was.
Is that true?
Well, yes.
That's amazing.
At work.
And it came up?
What are those Christmas dogs called? No, you got to look up Christmas dog. If you search Christmas dogs, it's just dogs in Santa hats.
Yeah.
Right. If you search Christmas dogs horns, then reindeer.
Not Christmas horse. Slightly closer in the animal kingdom. Yeah.
Really big dogs.
Yeah, what is Christmas?
But you've always been more into dog racing than horse racing. You're always down at the dog track.
It's true.
But you're more into horse fighting than you are dog fighting.
I love horse fighting. I mean, what are horses but large dogs?
Yeah.
What is something you think is overrated?
Oh, A Christmas Prince on Netflix.
Oh, no shit.
Not the sequel. I haven't seen the sequel.
Oh, Royal Wedding?
I haven't seen Royal Wedding.
I just watched that 2 nights ago.
You did? Okay, so we just did it for Bechdel Cast, spoiler alert, and I loved so much of it, but I also, there were so many elements of Aldovia that were a little fashy to me. Mm-hmm. I think that Aldovia may be an alt-right country, but I do love that they seem to be ruled by a king who left his laws in large ornaments.
Right.
But I was disappointed. I felt left in
the lurch. Wasn't there like one Asian person like in that like parliament scene too? I remember just being like, what is that?
Guys, what the fuck is a Christmas prince?
It's on Netflix. It's on Netflix. It's a phenomenon.
The Kurt Russell one?
No, that's a Christmas something else.
It's like a movie that I have to assume was pitched to Hallmark and they said no, and they make 400 Christmas movies a year.
Right.
It's basically The Princess Diaries, but Christmas.
Oh.
Right, but it follows the same sort of format of busy city woman travels to this place and
Aldovia.
A man tells her to chill the fuck out.
It's not Genovia, nice. It's Aldovia. The twist, I mean, there are twists. She brings a child with brittle bones onto a sled. She gets attacked by a wolf.
Yeah.
But I was.
Is it in the
down.
Unbreakable universe?
It is. It is.
Okay. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
She grows up to be Mr. Glass. She becomes African American and then becomes Mr. Glass.
So Aldovia is a fictionalized nation that she visits and meets the Prince of Aldovia, and he teaches her a thing or two about.
Well, his
Christmas?
Like powers at stake. Well, there's a whole power struggle going on.
It's one of those like arbitrary ticking clock stories where it's like if he doesn't take over by Christmas, the country will cease to exist.
So it's a real Casablanca thing where the setting is just as important as the love story.
Exactly. Oh yeah, Aldovia is a character in the film.
Right. A living, breathing entity.
The crazy thing for me is like the takeaway of that movie, because she's playing a journalist, but the takeaway of that is like she's writing an article that's critical of a very powerful person, but her lesson is like, actually, if you're someone in the media being critical of a powerful person, you're probably wrong and you should actually sleep with them.
Right. Get to know them a little bit better. Yeah.
You might
get horny.
What if you saw things from Trump's perspective, though?
Give
Maggie Haberman.
I had a visceral reaction to the image of that.
Did we already do underrated?
No, but it's, of course, Santa University.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah.
It's now, coming up.
Now, for the poor, poor souls who have no idea about Santa University.
For newer members of the Zeit Gang, yeah. Santa University is, I mean, if it happens twice, it's a holiday tradition.
Yep. Yep.
It's my unfinished screenplay that I've been working on for, this will be the sixth Christmas.
Yeah.
It's about a university full of Santas. 40,000 Santas begin and one leaves.
Right.
39,999
Battle Royale sort of thing.
Yes. Yeah. Miles plays Dan Santa, the lead. Santa. Jack, you played like a million parts last year.
It was sort of like the Phil Hartman of Santa University. I've always thought of myself.
A utility player,
With a bigger Coke problem.
Yeah.
It's always underrated because it still hasn't been produced or finished.
And then this year, one more go then?
Oh, yeah, we're going to keep going. I've added characters. I have not yet figured out how it ends.
Right, because Robert Evans, when he was in yesterday, he was like, yeah, I'm going to be doing Santa University. And I was like, I didn't hear about this. And then I just sat silently.
Robert has been texting me almost every day of like, just checking on the date. Do we got a date? Got to lock it in. He's like building his life around it. I'm thrilled.
That's fantastic. Well, he respects the art.
Yes, I appreciate that.
And by the way, Phil Hartman did not have a Coke problem. It was his wife who Andy Dick got
back onto Coke
when she was in recovery. And then she ended up murdering Murdy Suey.
Isn't that why John Lovitz tried to fight him at that club a few years ago?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I remember
that would be fun.
I know a lot of people who were friends with Phil Hartman never forgave Andy Dick.
Well, nor should they. Ever.
Anyway, so that's our show.
And
I'm going to go back to the corner.
Jamie, what is a myth? What is something people think is true? That you know to be called.
If you love what you do, you never work a day in your life.
Yeah, fuck that.
It's not true. You still probably work quite hard with people you don't always like.
Yeah.
Anyways, I gave myself a nosebleed today.
Yeah, cool. Doing what you love, having nosebleeds.
I was living my dream today, and I absolutely gave myself a stress nosebleed.
I don't think it actually makes your life any easier because you end up working really hard. It just makes you better at your job.
Sure. You take it more seriously.
Yeah, and you just put every ounce of yourself.
Like when I worked at the Coach store, I was living on cloud fucking nine.
Oh, right.
I didn't give a fuck. Just working retail.
There is something to be said for like a nihilist existence for brief periods of time.
Oh, yeah.
Not a lifestyle, but a few months of nihilism.
I was the only male employee at that Coach store, and I was
really?
Basically seen as the one person that my other coworkers could talk shit to about each other because they felt I couldn't possibly have picked a side. It was stressful though because I knew like everyone's fucking tea. It was ridiculous.
Being a gossip receptacle is a wild experience.
Yeah. I just have one of those, you know, people like to talk to me. You know, what can I say?
Brag.
All right, guys, we're going to get into the stories of the day. There is yet another dating app meant exclusively for those undersexed Republicans, apparently. Yet another Republican was out with somebody they found attractive.
Dude, the story in the Daily Beast about this app is so fun. So there was one that already failed, remember? And it like dumped all the user data suddenly. And like everyone's information was half compromised. So this one was about a beautiful Trump supporter. So this woman, Christy Edwards-Lawton, Christy Edwards-Lawton was at a Manhattan party last year when she noticed a beautiful woman across the room. The woman who had, quote, stunning good looks, according to Lawton, seemed like someone who would have no trouble finding love. But she also had a surprising secret. She couldn't find a boyfriend in New York City because she voted for Trump. I'm a Republican, the woman whispered to Lawton. She recalled, they don't want me. And hence her billion-dollar idea, which is not a billion-dollar idea, just an idea to start the dating app for Trump supporters called Writer. Mm-hmm. R-I-G-H-T-E.
Oh, right. Like
Writer.
Like
right-handed Writer.
But like ride the right? Is that the
No, just it's like right plus ER. Them? Yeah, I mean, I think you've already come up with a better idea.
Ride the alt-right? That's upsetting.
Yeah, well.
But also, that story is very compelling.
Yeah.
You can hear the little pop of a million racist boners.
Yeah, they're like, oh, God, where's she?
What? It's also,
I'm having the same problem.
It's also almost definitely completely made up based on the
100.
Wildly unrealistic dialogue of, they don't want me.
Don't.
What? Or even the beginning when you say you were at a Manhattan party.
Uh-huh.
What the fuck is that?
Yeah, it's a party that happens in the borough of Manhattan. Ever freaking heard of it.
Isn't that Jacob Wool's construction of always hearing hipsters, coffee shop whispering?
Within Manhattan's party scene. Yeah, writer users can't hide their age. And the app will be policed for photoshopped pictures added to make a would-be dater look better. And then the quote from the founder is, "Females make themselves look different, younger, thinner, better," Lawton said. "That's not going to happen on our app." So her number one concern is for guys being victimized by fatties who make themselves look thinner than they are.
Basically.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's the wild patriarchy bend of this thing. They're also like talking about how, oh, on Writer, men initiate, women respond.
Right.
Oh. It's like, let's get back to basics.
Yeah,
right.
Well, you also,
you
the one of the rules
look
is
like shit and people come at you.
Well, right. They have a feature that if the man doesn't pay for the first date, you can report them.
Right.
Okay.
So, hey, that's just, you know, taking it back to the old school because I'm an old fool who's so cool.
Sure. This is, well, this reminds me of, what was that thing?
Well,
Ashley something or other. There's a site that was for like men to cheat on their spouses.
Ashley Madison.
Or, yeah, Ashley Madison. Yeah. That it was for both sides to cheat on their spouses.
Right.
But they ended up like getting compromised and dumped all the data.
Right? Yeah.
And it was just all dudes. It was just all dudes hanging out there, which sounds like what they're trying to do with their marketing.
Wait, what do you mean that there were no women involved on the web?
Right. They had a bunch of like bots. Yeah, they were just trying to, like, keep men interested.
Oh, I didn't even realize. Yeah. So, wait, there were no successful, like, affairs being done on Ashley Madison?
There might have been a couple.
Or, like, a few of people who were really that.
But in order to take care of all of the demand from men, they just had all these bots being like, I totally want to cheat.
Right.
And
I love to cheat with my big boobies.
Right. My boobies are ready for your cargo shorts.
But there must be money. But there must be money in that because that seems like what they're trying to do because she's just straight pitching this to conservative men. Like,
right.
Females make themselves look different. We're not going to let that shit slide on my dating app.
You're not going to get a Russian bot on the other end.
Right.
Oh,
so it makes sense. I mean, there is a huge demand amongst conservative straights. To, you know, have people
love those conservative straights.
I know.
Yeah, well, look.
The poor conservative straights.
Racism isn't as hot as it used to be.
I know.
It's, I know.
Guys, Friends was going to stop streaming on Netflix.
Fine. Sorry.
Great.
No, Jamie. You don't know how important this is.
You remember you did our live show. Oh, we shouldn't give any things away because that's for people who show up and are lucky enough. I'm sorry.
Yeah. It was so lit.
So litty.
It was extremely lit.
But yeah, it was, if you were watching Netflix like I do, there was a little thing that when you scrolled past Friends, it said available to stream until 1/1/19.
That's how it's always worked.
I know. And when people saw that, they lost their shit on Twitter and the rest of the internets. And then Netflix, yo, they came through with the big bag for the streaming rights. They paid $100 million to secure the rights for 2019 to stream it.
That's how much it costs to stream that show
that
for a single year?
Makes me want to flip a table. I think we should just, we as a culture should move on from Friends. We don't, I have never liked Friends. And then I went to college, brag. And
look out.
I went to Emerson and the guy who like owns everything at Emerson is the EP of Friends. And he's a mean motherfucker.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. He would invite students. Like there was one time where he mispronounced my name for something. And it was like in front of thousands of people. And it was Jimmy Lotfuss.
Lotfuss? Jimmy, he couldn't conceive of a funny woman. So he was
He glitched and then it called me and several of my friends up to his penthouse apartment at the W in Boston and then gave us a $6 bottle of wine. Anyways, he's nice. Anyways, I don't want to give him $1 million. Take that right.
Well,
to
how about 100 million?
Okay.
I mean, it's awful when you think about like what that money could actually have gone to.
Right.
Like in where it's being spent. Because I think, you know, Netflix just secured another $2 billion. They're like $8 billion in the hole right now.
Yes.
So
they're
very
far in debt.
They look into that chasm and they're like, fuck it, baby.
But they decided they wanted to actually kill Matthew Perry. with money.
Ooh.
So.
Oh, I mean, I'll roll this takeover from the live show. Chandler does not hold up as a character, as a person.
Miles, you have to use your joke. It's too good.
At the end, it wasn't even for the show. I just put more like Chandler cha-ching, am I right? And then a parenthetical throws away last bit of pride and walks into the ocean, never to be seen again.
The only good, the bright side is that Lisa Kudrow gets money.
Yeah,
that's always good.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break while we resolve that, and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. And there's quite a few breaking stories from the Trump administration. Donald Trump, apparently our president, he declared a victory in the trade war over China. And that victory lasted a day. There was a day where the stock market was like, yeah, we're back, baby.
Because he said so.
Yeah. Like the guys from Trading Places in Coming to America. That's a twisted reference, but yeah.
Wait, the guys? Wait, what?
So the two characters from Trading Places are homeless in Coming to America. He gives them a bunch of money, and they're like, Mortimer, we're back, baby. Anyways, that's what Wall Street was like. Yeah. Thank you. And then they realized that it was a lie.
Well, yeah, he just came out saying, I talked to President Xi, and we worked out an incredible deal. And then he went on to be like, I'm the tariff man, baby. We're getting so much money in tariffs. It's like, that's not how tariffs work, you fucking imbecile. Anyway, and that caused like the White House and Larry Kudlow and many other people to walk it back. And it's more like, well, it's more like we talked about things we wanted to commit to, and then we'll wait to see if China actually, it was just like, okay, you were spiking the football on the 2-yard line again. Right. So, you know, like even as I wrote this, I was like, eh, this isn't really a story in the sense that it's another time that Trump tried to claim that he fixed the economy without doing anything.
Yeah. Right. At the same time.
President overstates, comma, damages country.
Right. Like, no way.
Yeah.
At the same time, it is a story in that it caused the, like, his reversal or the global seeing through his bullshit today caused the stock market to fall 800 points. So
is that a lot?
It seems like it, doesn't it? I have no idea, actually.
800 of anything seems like a lot.
800's too many.
Too many.
Come on, stock markets.
Come on.
Don't fall so much. And speaking of the president, Michael Flynn, last night it was announced he would get no prison time, or at least Mueller would ask for him to get no prison time, or at least limited prison time, because he snitched so good.
He snitched. Ooh. Oh, again, it's a race to be the best rat. Is it Cohen? Is it Flynn? But apparently, yeah. I mean, Mike Flynn has been working with Mueller for much, much longer.
Yeah.
And apparently it's like work on 3 different investigations, 2 of which were redacted. So right. We don't know what else they were up to.
I have a question about the Mueller investigation. Do they just drop it whenever, or do they tease it? I'm trying to imagine like it's a Drake album.
Right.
And they're like, is there going to be like a trailer sort of thing where they're like, this is what it, or like whatever, a released track. They're like, here's something cool, but you got to wait until this day, pre-order.
Right. I think people are speculating that, first of all, he's not doing it along a public relations like timeline. He's just more doing it along the timeline of like how to get the conviction or to build the case that he wants to build. Mm-hmm. And so now these are moves that suggest that
it's coming to an end.
The investigation is basically almost over.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he pretty much has the things he needs for his final report.
And then he'll just lemonade. He'll just drop it all at once.
Yeah, I mean, right. Yeah, exactly.
I hope there's a visual album for the Mueller report.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of people crying, I think. But we don't know, you know, what we'll see, what anyone will see, if Congress will see it. Those are things that we'll have to figure out as time goes on. But I know we are probably getting more updates on the nature of Paul Manafort's lies this week and a little bit more on Cohen. So I guess those will be singles for the album.
Dribs and drabs.
This is the first of 3 things that was supposed to come out from the Mueller report.
I think so, yeah.
And
now we just need Cohen.
It is indicative of the president being somewhat fucked. Mm. So stay tuned, gang.
Yeah. But again, it's not to say that it's like a one shot just to blow the whole thing down kind of thing. Like it's just slowly, as we've seen, I think in the beginning where I was like, oh, when's that thing that's going to come that is going to bring Trump crashing down? And it's more that, like, he's slowly just whittling away and, like, eating away at all of it to eventually.
It's about the full album. It's not a single track.
Sure.
Right. I'm just trying to compare this to Sweetener in some way.
All right. Let's talk one last thing about the president is that the Senate, and specifically Senate Republicans, have decided he's 100% full of shit when it comes to the murder of Khashoggi.
Yeah, who's full of shit?
The president.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, for sure.
And Mohammed bin Salman. Yeah, they're all, yeah.
Oh,
yes.
For sure.
So the CIA briefed the Senate and told them what everyone has seemed to know all along, that MBS ordered the murder of Khashoggi. The CIA did some spy shit, presumably, because they know that there was WhatsApp messages exchanged between MBS and, like, head assassinator, the lead of the assassination team, around both before and after the murder. So, like, he was kind of in the know when that was going on. And
even, like, told MBS's right hand, he's like, tell your boss he's dead.
Yeah.
Like, I think was one of the messages, basically. Yeah.
Which is just bad writing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I could offer some punch-up writing for your WhatsApp messages, MBS.
God, what a sinister job for a comedian.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think as last week, right, Mike Pompeo and General Mattis went up there and basically threw what was left of their credibility into the dumpster fire. And we're like, I think Pompeo said, oh, well, there's no direct reporting that could link this. Mattis said there's no smoking gun, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have people like Lindsey Graham coming out. And he's like, there might not be a smoking gun because there's a smoking saw.
Ooh.
And you're like, whoa,
Lindsay?
Is that you?
Bitch.
Is that you?
A little bitchy.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he's got his limits.
Bitch.
Also, a smoking saw. It's whatever.
Yeah.
How would you get a saw to smoke? I mean, whatever.
You
Lindsay did
aren't properly lubricating it and while trying to chop something, the friction will cause the right material to smoke.
He was a stone cutter.
Okay. Yes. I'm sorry. Jamie. The thing you have to understand.
Shit, here we go.
Jesus Christ.
Sauce-splaining with
Jamie. I hate myself. Yeah. So the other thing is that the CIA was supposed to brief the Senate last week, and the White House specifically stopped that from happening.
Yeah.
And it finally happened today. So.
Yeah. And even, I'm surprised that they found their backbone on this one. Because there's another thing. Even Bob Corker, I mean, look, we know now that he doesn't have to face any kind of election. He's just saying whatever. But like a journalist asked him, he said, after hearing from Haspel today, this is him asking Bob Corker, Haspel today and Mattis Pompeo last week, was there a difference in the message or the determination that MBS was responsible for the Khashoggi murder? Pause, Corker. Difference between darkness and sunshine?
Bam, 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 bam.
Yeah, there you go. Wow, thank you for that one. I mean, we'll see if that'll affect anything.
Mm.
Exactly 1 point for a Senate Republican.
Yeah.
And Republicans, in worse news for them, they got hacked.
Aww.
Specifically the office in charge of their House reelection.
I'd like to take credit for this.
In 2018. Yeah. Was it you?
It was me.
The hacker.
Oh, that was you?
Yeah, hacker.
The coder who hacked. Yeah.
Are you Guccifer?
Yep.
2.0, Guccifer 2.0.
Yeah, Guccifer.
Yeah, that's you.
Whatever that means, that's who I am.
No, well, she's Guccifer 3.0.
Oh, bro. Shit.
Way okay. ahead that. Of you.
I love Lucifer is who you're going to be. But yeah, the NRCC, like their top four, or the aides for the top four people at the NRCC had their emails, quote unquote, surveilled for months, but none of the emails were leaked in any way. So we're not quite sure how the hack was that damaging unless they're holding on to it for something in the future.
Holding on to them, signed them up for the Baby Kept newsletter. Usually did more pranks than anything else.
And they kept the thing private though too. Yeah. Like a lot of people, like Kevin McCarthy, a lot of people didn't know until Politico asked them for a quote. They're like, what? The who? What? Hacking?
That's bizarre.
They're like, we don't know about hacking unless it's for Democrats get hacked. But
right. Huh. But it makes sense because, I mean, they also hacked the Republican Party and the Trump campaign in the 2016 election. They just never released those emails because they wanted Trump to get elected. And, you know, the more power that the Republican Party has, the more America is under the control of a nihilistic, terrible government.
Right.
So,
well, I wonder if
Russians
that, you know,
pro Republican.
Yeah, that RNC hack is just like, okay, maybe we'll call this compromat to get the other people in the Republican Party in line when Trump goes completely off the rails.
Right.
Well, I guess it's not the worst thing to just have.
Right.
Just keep that there for safekeeping.
But it does seem like this is coming out in the aftermath of the election to be like, well, oh yeah, you guys got hacked in 2016. Well, we got hacked now.
That's why we did so bad. And it wasn't because of our strategy of completely not like embracing any kind of inclusive platform at all.
So right. Prove they have emails.
Right.
Well, yeah. And then I think
we use email, bro.
Well, Liz Cheney, who's now like, you know, elevated in the NRCC, they were asking her about like, yeah, but what about the lack of female representation in the party? And she gave some really like condescending answer. Like she's like, I think it's just really paternalistic to think that like that's what we have to do. Mm-hmm. That's what Democrats do. And it's really offensive.
Yes. Like, go off, Liz.
Yeah. Because also their female representation went from 23 to 13 seats.
Oh, I'm going
to
throw myself out a window. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
But again, you know, that's what you got to do when you have a terrible, terrible platform and you're not willing to change.
Yeah.
They should get on that app.
Find women,
inbreeding.
They're like, this better be your photo too. I'm looking for congressional candidates. This can't be this better not be face-tuned.
No flattering angles or you're fucking reported.
Chin up,
sis.
Chin up, not chin down. I want to see that low-angle
shot.
Up
angle.
All right, guys, as teased on multiple episodes, we want to talk about conditions in packing factories.
There he goes.
I want to hear it.
Yeah, well, it's the sort of thing that makes you only want to shop at brick and mortar stores from now on, which I'm sure they have their own shit going on. But the story from the New York Times is about a packing plant in Memphis where multiple women were worked so hard that they miscarried and were like their pregnancy was not considered even when they brought in doctor's notes being like, they're too pregnant to do work. Like you have to give them breaks when they want breaks. The people were like, yeah, go fuck yourself.
What business was this for?
It was for Verizon. It's an independent contractor who then does a lot of work for Verizon. And one woman there was worked until she died. And her and her supervisor told people not to touch her and to step around her body and keep working.
She dropped dead at work.
At work, yeah.
And then the supervisor's like, yo, come on, get back to work.
Yeah.
Fuck capitalism.
That comes
triangle
up.
Shirtwaist factory. Yeah, it's right. Terrifying.
Yeah, that story of the woman dying on the floor. Why am I laughing?
It's uncomfortable to actually consider that's a reality that we're living in. That people are worked to death.
This was last year.
Yeah, just last year, 2017. September 2017, and the article that is contained in is about the lack of rights for pregnant women in this workplace and in like packing factories, and it just happens to have the story of the woman dying and people being told to work around her body.
And what did the company say when they're like, what the fuck's going on?
So they claim it's the unions trying to get people onto the side of the union.
Oh, fuck that.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Her family has to be suing, right? Like they're
fucking disgraceful.
Look,
you know, if when people ask, okay, capitalism's awesome.
Right.
That means you have people who, you would presumably, this woman who was working and pregnant or even other people had health conditions are doing so probably because we don't provide proper opportunity for health care or other things.
Yeah.
That their only financial recourse is to work to death or at the expense of their unborn child.
Yeah. One of the anecdotes that was just particularly evocative to me was this woman who was, you know, in her 40s, I think, and her teenage son got a job at this same factory for a summer job.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, we do like two-a-days in the summer for football. And like, this is 10 times harder than that. Like the work that you put in at this factory, mom. Like he was like, I don't know how you do that.
Right. And then even the conditions in the warehouse were like
incredibly
criminal as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're working. Oh my. So is there, what do we do? What do we throw our Verizon phones? And when you say they're packing or packaging, is it just like it's like a distribution hub for Verizon products, basically?
Yeah, basically. And I mean, you hear other horror stories about people working
in Amazon
factories.
Yeah,
it's not just that they remove the driving to the store from your consumer experience. I think the other service that these companies provide is they remove the need to witness and interact with people who are being exploited to provide your consumer pleasure. Like you just don't even have to think about it. It's like somewhere up a completely opaque supply chain.
And you're like, I pressed enter.
Right.
And my thing showed up.
Yeah.
I went to the store. I saw a pregnant woman working the register and felt like, oh,
right.
I feel like this
and
person
she looked
should be
completely
working.
Exhausted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and also when it's behind closed doors, you don't need to do anything to make it. I feel like if you're working in a brick and mortar location and you're coming into direct contact with customers, there would be more care put into like, does this person appear ill? Did they seem uncomfortable? Because that would affect the customer experience. But if it's all behind closed doors at a factory, they double don't give a fuck.
Right. That's exactly right. And I mean, I think that that's the other inefficiency in the market that they've exploited is that other companies in the past have had to worry about what their
workers if a customer says
looked
something.
Like. Yeah, exactly. Whereas they at Amazon or at other companies that are putting these workers behind a wall, they're able to work those people, like you said, double hard and just, you know, exploit the shit out of them.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That is absolutely disgraceful. So upsetting.
Well, this is the thing. And, you know, this is why people have to really understand what's at stake for the future of the country, right? Because it may be a sort of an abstract issue to you if you're fortunate enough to not have to work a job like this.
Yeah.
But, like, You know, when people are talking about workers' rights and working people's rights and things like that, it's not some weird socialist fantasy that Fox News is like, oh, and then they're going to take your microwave and cut it in half and you have to give it to this other person. It's trying to at least give human beings the basic fucking dignity they deserve. Like, when you look at the quotes of some of these women who were with child working there, they were like, I needed the money to be able to even, like, stay at home with my child.
It's the ability to live and to, like, survive. It's not even it's when it comes down to issues like this, it's not even a comfort issue.
Yeah.
It's just like,
can you afford to live?
Can you afford to live?
Yeah. Ugh. And just think about, I mean, the Fox News is, and even I think the mainstream media of the world, they want there to be these two binary options. Either you have, you know, Soviet Russian communism, or you have this version of capitalism that is just fucking Mad Max Thunderdome. Nobody's looking out for anybody.
Right.
That we've sort of progressed towards. And I think the reason we've been able to progress to this level is because we have a mainstream media that isn't looking out for people. They're owned by giant corporations, and giant corporations look out for other giant corporations.
Right. And I think if you also, the reporting of it would be like, shame on this warehouse.
Right.
It's not shame on the system that creates this kind of problems for people. And then the financial system or the commercial system we're operating.
It's never a systemic issue. It's always like, oh, let's take out whoever's in charge of this specific factory. Let's shut this specific factory down. And then, you know, two more pop up and it doesn't matter.
Yeah. The options are not socialism in the sense of like communism and Thunderdome capitalism. There are versions of, you know, a capitalist economy where people actually look out for workers and there are strong labor unions.
And not even like, fuck it, even calling it workers. They're people, right? Yeah. Looking out for the citizens of their nations.
Right.
Is there an example of a capitalist economy that's gone well? Do we know?
Yeah.
Fully well?
I think you would be shocked at how much different other countries are that are like capitalist, but like, America's the only place that is fucked up.
Yeah, it's full on, it's fuck full you, on, give me my money, like, I don't care if you die working.
Yeah.
Because in other places, like, they have very aggressive, like, maternity leave and, like, leave for your child care and all these other things, where in America it's like, do your coworkers want to pitch in to give you a few days off? Because they can give up their days.
Oh, yeah, the GoFundMe suggestion.
Right.
Start a GoFundMe, maybe you'll be allowed to.
Oh, live. Right. That was the thing of the guy who needed cancer treatments, right? And then the insurance company is like, we suggest a charity fundraising drive for you.
They literally said start a GoFundMe or you're toast. Like, it's just...
What the fuck?
And again, the one record that the U.S. holds, like we all say, is that we're the only country where people go into massive debt because of health issues.
Yeah.
So
we're number one. We're number one at that.
Well, yeah, because in France right now, even with all the massive they haven't seen protests like this since 1968. Paris was literally burning over the weekend, and that was based on fuel taxes that were coming up. And a lot of, and even this is a country that has socialized medicine for these people, but they still have the problem that the U.S. does, that the middle class is fucking evaporating. Right. And it's just becoming haves and have-nots. And this is the same thing that, you know, it's all connected to why Trump is president and why we look at these situations. There's this, the middle class problem is one of the biggest ones even facing these countries that we may look at as like relative utopias, but there's still that other dimension that we, I don't know, like certain places have not figured out. It's like, we have to understand that you need a middle.
Right.
Because if when you have just like team one and team two, like, that's where the shit gets nasty.
Especially if, like, team one is holding all the cards.
Right.
Right. And team two has all the people.
Right.
It's just a couple people holding all the cards. Yeah. I mean, and the crazy thing with France is the mainstream media in the United States, you would get the impression that it was all just people objecting to a global climate change tax.
Right.
And, like, that's basically it. But it's not that. It's part of a larger,
much bigger issue.
Yeah.
And God, we all got problems we got to figure out, y'all.
You said it, man.
You know, that's the only way I can put it, is that we have problems we got to figure out.
Yeah.
And that's the lesson of every daily is like,
and it is on you, the listener, to figure them out.
Yeah, not me. This is a second-rate podcast. I just sit back and collect Casper mattresses.
Please add us with some suggestions. Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. And the internet is having an interesting week when it comes to... So we talked yesterday about how Pete Davidson was being bullied. The Ariana Grande stans were sort of making his life a living hell. And he is a mentally ill guy in recovery who's getting over being dumped by the most famous person on earth. But, you know, he's still a successful straight white dude who's probably going to be okay. And he acknowledged that even when he was complaining.
Yeah.
But now we learn that the same thing happened to a writer who gave the Thank You Next video a negative review for being, and the review has its own problems. We read it and it does seem like it's a bit of an overreach.
Did you read it?
I didn't know what
there were some published things about just really leaning into that. A lot of the stuff was like anti-queer and transphobic and sort of
really.
Yeah, I mean, I could see how I could understand how if you wanted to take a very narrow view of that, you could look at it like that. But there was other things like they were saying she was in blackface when she was just doing like offensive Tanner that people do.
Yeah, I've seen that argument posited before, and I honestly don't know what to make of it.
I mean, to me, a blackface is a very well-defined thing. I think if anything, she's guilty of trying to come off a little more ethnic than you might be.
Right.
Yes,
but I think blackface is a completely different thing.
Yes.
However, again, if you take a very narrow view and you're looking at side-by-side photos, you're like, ooh, well, you went 9 shades darker suddenly than your normal skin tone.
I mean, even while we were having the conversation, somebody on our production team was like, she is definitely a person of color, right? And we're like, no, she's Italian.
No, right. Yeah. And the whole she's Italian thing, you're just like, I don't know.
Yeah, but I also am not willing to name who asked that question because I don't want them to get death threats.
From
the Grande Hive, because that seems to be where we're at. I mean,
I love Ariana. She's on my sweatshirt, Finger in the World.
Yeah,
I know.
That website was Into or whatever is the name of the outlet. That put it out, they basically had to be like, okay, before the even you read the article, it's like the editor-in-chief is like, okay, hold on.
They issued a sort of retraction of this article, which is essentially just a really close analysis, like cultural criticism of the Thank You Next video that might have been like gone a little far in one direction or another. But it's like a college paper that wants to make a thesis and maybe like puts a couple somewhat questionable arguments in there.
Most articles of that nature.
That is the internet. And they had to take this person's name off, you know, to protect them. But then the publication like really wasn't backing.
They were
the
like,
writer.
We're going to do a line by line like takedown of this article.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And they were also said we totally failed the writer with our editors, completely failed her.
Right.
Because like somehow this got to this point, and the editor in chief is like, I'm going to be reviewing the entire process and there'll be a change. But I don't know.
It just seems like they're buckling to the fact that there are millions and millions of probably Ariana Grande stans that are, you know, complaining to them. And so
if I may be cynical about it, I think that they got a ton of clicks on the first article and they're like, well, we better publish a follow up that will get just as many clicks because they're making money.
Let's we'll make more news by removing the byline. Then we'll make more news again by adding a note from the editor.
Exactly.
People have to, it'll be like an ongoing story.
Yeah.
Who's written a lot of clickbait.
And even like the take, whatever. I mean, like, clearly, I think it needed a little more thought in certain respects, but I could see sort of what they were going for.
Yeah.
But do you deserve motherfucking death threats?
No.
And then we have Sarah Hyland from Modern Family, the eldest child of the titular Modern Family.
Uh-huh.
So her 14-year-old cousin died in a car accident over the weekend. And while she was like grieving publicly on social media, she posted a link to a GoFundMe to help the family raise money for funeral expenses because we live in a capitalist hellscape.
Yes.
And also the father, her uncle, has been in like multiple surgeries because he was also in the car accident. So, you know, there's all sorts of reasons that they would need help and, you know, that they should have a GoFundMe live. Not in the sense that it's a sane thing for a country to have, but in the sense that, you know, we live in this economic reality. So why the hell not? And people like are going after her because they're like, you're rich, you should pay for it. And like, really, like,
why die on that hill?
Right.
Is my
it's
question.
Just it seems like a weird, like a almost cartoonishly bad time to choose to make that argument.
Right. And in a way, I understand what the anger is because you're looking at someone like that and go, you have exponentially more money than most of these people who are reading it. But that is a very, like you said, of the timing of trying to use that like a grieving person to be like, but you're rich.
And like, as much as I love being angry about class related issues, it's like, just don't donate to it. If you feel that way, don't give money to it.
Yeah.
And it's like, it just let her, oh, that sucks.
Yeah, because it's not like Sarah Hyland's like, help me and my girls go to Bora Bora.
Right.
You know, like, those are the offensive one. I understand, like, you know, again.
Get mad at
Zach Braff's Kickstarter.
Did he have a Kickstarter?
He had a Kickstarter. He was like, I can't fund this incredibly personal project of mine. And
oh, eat shit, Zach Braff.
He's like, my residuals from Scrubs are late this month. Can you please help?
Yeah.
Was his brother on The Shield?
Is he? There's another
he's
Braff?
Dutch. He plays Dutch, that other...
Lil Braff?
Yeah.
What?
Because I remember being like, yo, that's Zach Braff's brother.
But that's a great time to choose to get mad and be like, pay for it with your own fucking money.
Oh, I loved not donating to Zach Braff's Kickstarter. Yeah,
that was a blast.
I got off on it. It was great.
Oh, wait, maybe I'm confusing them all.
Anyways.
Zach Braff has no brother. He consumed it in the womb.
So there was an article from The Hollywood Reporter about how nobody wants to host the Oscars, and apparently that problem has been solved by one Kevin Hart.
Oh, good to be you.
Weirdly, I'm looking at a quote from our story about this, and it says, "That's a tall order," and that would probably be a joke within the telecast, made at Kevin Hart's expense.
Well, I guess prior to this, before he had agreed to do this, I guess when you sort of looked at why, like, this was the job nobody wanted, it kind of makes sense, because the ratings have just been on a downward trend for the last, 4 or 5 years, basically.
And, like, who besides Billy Crystal's career has it ever assisted?
Right.
Like, I feel like people usually, after they host the Oscars, are in poorer standing with the general public.
You just get ripped.
Anne Hathaway had her new asshole delivered after she was...
Express. Overnighted.
Express. She got overnighted a new asshole, and I stand for Anne Hathaway. She never did a damn thing to anyone, and people shouldn't have been so mean to her.
I know. She was just so easy to hate, I think, for the internet people. They're just like, I don't like her. Like, she reminds me of the person from... Yeah. I'm connecting some other memory from my past and applying that to her.
I got in an argument with a brunette woman once.
It's over for you, Anne. Well, and also when we talk about creatively, though, too, it sounds like not a great job if you're actually a comedian, because there are so many stakeholders that have to be satisfied. It's because, like, one, like, your presence has to boost ratings, which means you also have to have huge name recognition. You got to be funny. You got to be topical, as Hollywood Reporter says, topical without being controversial, politically savvy without being too partisan, young but not so young as to scare the Academy's governors and satisfactory to a coalition of competing interests, including the Academy's president, its sprawling board, and ABC.
And
so who does that leave?
Steve Harvey.
Actually, Steve Harvey would be really good.
I think Steve Harvey.
But
would
no
be
one would be.
Oscar
so many people would be like, "Who?"
Yeah,
no
but
way.
And then they would tune in, and he would immediately win.
No, I mean, like, internationally, because that's the other thing, is like, it's a very international event too. So that's why they typically want someone with slightly. But I don't know. Like, who gives a fuck?
Well, I mean, Kevin Hart will do a good job.
Yeah,
I hope so.
Sure. He'll be fine.
Sure.
But how you think he's gonna get really spicy up there?
No.
And so I'm saying, and that's not a good version of Kevin Hart.
Right. No. So this article was saying that John Oliver and Samantha Bee would be good picks, except they're too controversial.
John Oliver would be a boring host of the Oscars.
Right.
Can't imagine him standing up.
I think Samantha Bee would be a much better option
she would be
than
great.
John Oliver.
Yeah, she would be amazing. And the only person she would, like, who in Hollywood is she going to offend?
Well, here's the thing. Most people
she
on
said
the
a
right
bad word once, Jack.
Right.
Yeah, that's
but
true.
Most people on the right don't give a fuck, or they have this sort of anti-Hollywood bias anyway. So they're going to hate watch either way.
Right.
So fuck it. Like, just let it rock. It is what it is.
Right.
You can call all the bullshit that's going on in the administration for what it is, make jokes about it. I'm sorry if you voted for this guy, but them's the realities.
And this is part of that ongoing fake news story where it's like Oscar ratings have gone down for 5 years in a row. It's like every show's ratings have gone down for 5 years in a row. Nobody watches TV anymore. Like, that's just, we follow it on Twitter or,
you know. NBA ratings are, I think, one of the ones that do better, right, over time.
Yeah, because they've, like, specifically embraced the social media aspect of social media.
And they're not scared of brown people. They're like, hey, people of color, we're not fucking around in the way we depict you, or at least we're letting y'all do your thing versus baseball. It's like, was Ken Griffey wearing his hat backwards?
Every baseball take is delivered with gritted teeth.
Yeah. Oh, my God. We're going to be the laughing stock.
Jeter isn't white.
Yeah. So apparently they've tried to get Oprah Winfrey, Justin Timberlake, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Jerry Seinfeld, and they've all turned it down. And Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, who used to do what was seen as the poor man's version of the Oscars, the Golden Globes, have reportedly passed on the Oscar job. Dwayne The
Good
Rock Johnson has been mentioned as a Golden Globes host rather than one for the Academy Awards. Wait, why? So he's not big enough? The biggest
box
office
draw? No, it's because they realize you're creatively fucking handcuffed. You do that, you can't do any of the material that's authentic to your voice. That's why when Ricky Gervais did it that one year and everyone's like, that was the spiciest shit, when he was just basically insulting everyone in the audience.
Ricky Gervais is a loser.
I know, he's
God,
insufferable
a black
sometimes in those
t-shirt V-neck loser with sweaty takes. Anyways.
That was an amazing though opening. I couldn't believe, because it was one of those times you're like, oh wow, you're just treating this like a roast and like shocking everyone. And then Amy Poehler and Tina Fey did a great job too, because again, they were allowed to just sort of do what they want. And I don't think
they were wonderful.
Because the foreign press is made up of a bunch of elderly foreign film critics. Well, not elderly. That's a bad, they're elderly. My mom included.
Yeah, you're the only person who has anything riding on this.
Roasted
yeah.
your mom.
You're like,
mom, don't listen.
Really? No.
Yeah, but you know, like they're less sort of about the like they're less rigid about it, like in like less pearl clutchy when it comes to the material.
Yeah, because
they're
no,
not
for sure.
they're not coming from some puritanical.
That's why they let everybody get drunk during the show.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Terribly, terribly drunk. And I missed our Santa University Award being handed out.
I mean, listen, it's always when everyone is pee-peeing at once, they give it away. They're like, where'd everyone go? Well, next year.
Mm. It's nice to see, like, though, when you go, just how drunk people get at that thing, because it's amazing.
Was Alfred Molina drunk?
I can't comment on that.
I bet he wasn't.
I had to sign an NDA.
I bet he was drinking a LaCroix.
I do think Jimmy Kimmel and Tina Fey and Amy Poehler are the only people who have, like, maybe gotten slightly higher in people's esteem from hosting things.
Jimmy Kimmy's fun.
Yeah, he did a good job.
Like, yeah, he did all right. Well, but
for
again,
people who haven't watched him since The Man Show, it was good to be like,
he's
very comfortable and good on
And he's got a sense of humor. Even when he was at the helm of the most disastrous Best Picture announcement ever.
Yeah.
And
he was like, well, shrug and see you tomorrow.
I think he said something like, I knew something was going to be wrong and it was going to be my fault or something like that.
Yeah. They were like, I knew I was going to screw this up in some manner, some historical.
Right.
Spectacular.
Well, and then there's also like some network politics at play too, because if they wanted to be Colbert or someone, it's like, well, he's CBS.
Right. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like Colbert or James Corden would be, James Corden would actually be absolutely perfect because he's like a song and dance person.
Right.
So like,
he would, he really would, Into the Woods it.
Rather than a Seth MacFarlane song and dance person.
Right.
Speaking of bad Tanner jobs, Seth MacFarlane and his fake ass teeth. I used to have such a big crush on him.
You did?
You did?
Yeah, up until I was like 22.
Oh my god.
What was it about him?
I really have this thing for like veneers. I was just like, I loved his fake teeth.
What do you think of Matt Dillon and Something About Mary when he got his veneers?
I love veneers.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Now that my dad has his fake teeth, we're going to hook up. I've got a thing. Long standing.
Wait, where
thing.
Do you think the veneers thing comes from? Was there someone with beautiful
teeth?
Has
your dad always had fake teeth?
No. Okay. Just this year. I was like, you
so
should
like
do it.
So it wasn't like a weird Freudian thing?
I don't. I need to go back to my childhood and figure out where the veneers thing came. But I always, like, I never liked Michael Bay movies, but he's got a big veneer. Like, any Jerry Bruckheimer production is veneer heavy. Like, I know a lot about veneers.
Veneers.
Yeah.
Who was the first male celebrity crush you had?
The first,
you can remember.
Alex Trebek.
Wow.
Is Trebek rocking some veneers?
I think Trebek's au natural.
You have such interesting taste in men.
I liked old guys when
I was should just
a kid.
Do an entire, like, serialized podcast trying to figure out Jamie's taste in men.
Where does it begin? There's that picture of Alex Trebek. Look up Alex Trebek young.
Although your boyfriend's like a totally good-looking, normal person. It's not like he's like this weird,
fake
like based on
guy.
Your based on your taste in men that, as expressed on
you're
this
expecting
show.
A real bridge troll to show up,
or like an someone, old guy with dentures,
right,
big ass dentures,
old guy with dentures and some sort of apparatus on his back with
what
multiple
were you,
arms.
What were you guys expecting?
Yeah,
I was expecting a literal American Girl doll because you said in your stories he looked like an American Girl doll.
He sort of does.
Speaking of Alex Trebek young, more like Alex Trebek. Yum. Alex.
I had a picture of Alex Trebek in my room.
No.
When I was 10. It was like a laser jet printed.
Oh, that you just made, you had to make your own
printed
teen
it in
posters?
Computer class. Well, yeah, no one's making posters.
You're telling me there weren't
Trebek.
Like posters
right.
widely available, commercially produced posters of on, Alex Trebek like on his side leaning like with.
What if he like posed for J14? That would be
that
incredible.
Would be fucking amazing.
Alex Trebek for J14. He'd go to jail, but it would be a great bit.
Well, Jamie, it's been a pleasure, as always, having you. Oh. Where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter.com at JamieLoftusHelp or Instagram at JamieCraySuperstar and listen to the Bechdelcast.
Do it.
Yeah.
Is there a tweet that you've been enjoying?
Oh, God. Okay. This is from Melissa Lozada Oliva, one of my favorite poets and friends. Need to dissect why I think evil Walter White is hot. Please pray for me.
Very topical.
Hello, Melissa.
Miles, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. And a tweet I like is from Hot Boy Trap at Trap God, G-A-W-D-D. It says, it's okay to be white. It's okay to be black. It's okay to be straight. It's okay to be gay. It's okay to be you. But it's never okay to stop at a yellow light when we both could have made it, bitch. God, especially, I mean, if you're in a traffic-heavy city, you will identify.
And at Jerk Venning tweeted, or at Jackie Venning is his display name, tweeted, standing over a subway grate and having the hot air blow my bootcut jeans around like Marilyn Monroe while all the fellas hoot and holler. second bootcut jeans joke in a row. Bootcut jeans are funny.
They're fucking
Wait,
awful.
What was the handle? I want to RT that.
At Jerk Venning.
Oh, that's fun.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can follow us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what's that going to be?
Well, first of all, you should really check out Reality Bites podcast. We forgot to plug that. Were on it. We'll plug it again tomorrow. I know it's late in the day.
They're wonderful.
But we went on there and we talked about all of our hearts and desires in our romantic lives. And also, I'm going to be on Creature Feature, I think today, actually, talking with Katie Golden about some weird parental stuff going on in the animal kingdom. You definitely want to tune into that. The song we are going to go out on is by a group called Radiant Children, and it's called Go Left. And you know what? It's just meant to get your big toe shooting up your boot, because it is hump day. So keep it moving, and let's get through the week.
All right. We're going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. We'll talk to you guys then.
Bye.
They tell you life is but a dream, but they want to sell you down the stream. You won't get a hold of me. So, you better run. Better leave this place.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.